Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. Wanted to go over a recent story from CNBC where they're actually interviewing some people who are experts in the commodities space, more specifically food. And we've heard how we're going to have definitely price increases in the United States and possibly food shortages. But I don't know that that's really sunk in for the majority of Americans out there, the average Joe and Jane, because we've just never experienced anything like that in the United States like they have in other countries. And even if we don't experience the food shortages here, the prices will go up to a level that will suck food away from the rest of the world. And this is a big, big problem when it comes to things like social unrest. So let's get into the article and see if we can understand the details as to what's really happening behind the scenes. So this is from CNBC. Fertilizer shortage worsened by war in Ukraine is driving up global food prices and scarcity. Notice they didn't just say food prices. They said scarcity. Talking points. The war in Ukraine has left the world not only short of important grains, but also fertilizers. This could tighten food supplies. And I know that a lot of people on social media, especially on Twitter, I'll say something like, something to the effect that Germany doesn't want to take natural gas from Russia, as an example, and how this may affect, people heating their home. And they'll say, oh, well, that's no big deal. We're going into summer anyway. Okay. What you don't understand is how many components, how many items that we see in the store are a result of having natural gas to begin with. If you don't have that input, then you don't have the end product, or you have that end product at a much, much, much higher price and far less supply of XYZ end product. Also, I want to point out that they keep saying that the war in Ukraine, and obviously that is a big reason why here, because Russia invaded Ukraine. But we also need to put some of the blame on the response. It's just like the Cerveza sickness, where they say that, the economy was crushed due to the Cerveza sickness. Not really. The economy was crushed due to the politicians' response to the Cerveza sickness. So I'm not saying that the politicians are 100% to blame here, but what I am saying is the prices that we're seeing wouldn't be near as high without these sanctions. It goes back to what I've been saying constantly over the last couple, 2-3 weeks here, and that sanctions are just a way for rich people to feel good about themselves, like they're doing something, but this comes at the expense of poor people. Something we have to remember, no matter how good it feels for us to make it seem like we're doing something. You see these pictures on the media of innocent people dead, and they're horrific pictures, and people get mad, they get angry, they get sad, rightfully so, and they say, what can we do? More sanctions, more sanctions, more sanctions. What they don't realize that that's not going to help anyone in Ukraine. That's only going to hurt the innocent people in Russia, and it's only going to hurt, in probably to a greater degree, innocent people in Europe and potentially in the United States. Let's keep going down the key points here. Farmers are seeing prices of fertilizer skyrocket. Some may choose to rotate crops or use less nutrients, which would yield fewer crops, i.e. less food. All of this is a double whammy, if not a triple whammy, said commodities strategist. We have geopolitical risk, higher input costs, and basically shortages. First thing in the article I highlighted, combined Russia and Belarus provide about 40% of the world's exports of potash, according to Morgan Stanley. And this is something I've been went over this in a recent whiteboard video. Russia's exports were hit by sanctions. Further, in February, a major Belarus producer declared force majeure, meaning they're not going to provide what they promised they'd provide on a specific contract due to a force majeure is basically, I think they call it specifically like an act of God or an act of war or something like that, or, you know, which would be the weather or just something completely outside of your control. And this is a statement that it wouldn't be able to uphold contracts. Yep, exactly. And like I said earlier, you know, the Russia's exports were hit by sanctions. So these sanctions, just a way for rich people that can afford the higher prices or go somewhere where they do have food. Just it's a way for rich people to feel good about themselves, that we're doing something. Russia also exported 11% of the world's urea and 48% of the ammonium nitrates. Russia and Ukraine together export 28% of the fertilizers made from nitrogen and phosphorus, as well as potassium, according to Morgan Stanley. And by the way, that's the end fertilizer. Most of the phosphorus comes from China, which stopped exporting it about 6, maybe 9 months ago. Is that just a coincidence? I'll let you decide. Disruptions of those shipments due to sanctions and war have set fertilizer prices skyrocketing. High grain prices are rising even more. And most people think through that, say, oh, well, I don't eat any wheat. I'm gluten-free. I don't care about that. Well, yeah, what you don't understand is that goes into feeding all of the pigs, the cows, the chickens. So if there's no wheat, there's no feed. If there's no feed, there's no protein. There's no meat. You can see how this has a domino effect. And CEO of CF Industries, Tony Will, in a recent CNBC appearance, said this is a huge problem. He said global fertilizer supplies are tight, very tight. CF manufactures, distributes fertilizer. I guess that's his, and he's the CEO of the company. It's a confluence of factors, unprecedented demand. Thank you, stimmy checks. Thank you, government. Coupled with a huge fall off in supply availability, only just exacerbated by the war in Ukraine and what's going on with the exports coming out of Russia and Ukraine, Will added. Okay, and so here's where I want to point out another coincidence. And I don't know if there's anything to this, but I think it's worth considering. And think about the timing of when Putin invaded Ukraine. It just so happened to come at a time when commodity prices were already increasing due to all of this, we'll call it quote unquote money printing that we saw in the United States, this excess, this massive spike in aggregate demand. And so if you could choose any point in time to invade Ukraine and have maximum impact on the West and prices and inflation, pretty much 30 days ago would have been that time. So again, is that a coincidence? I'm not sure. Was that pre-planned? I don't know. But I think it's something worth considering. A contributor to high costs and shortages. So all this is a double whammy, if not a triple whammy, said Bart Merlek, global head of commodity strategy at TD Securities. We have geopolitical risk, higher input costs, basic shortages. I think that's what they stated in the key points. He goes on to say, agriculture is absolutely going to get hit. In the case of Canada, it's good for Saskatchewan, which is the largest producer of potash in the world. But farmers are going to get hurt because per acre, they're going to pay a lot more. So if farmers get hurt, who else gets hurt? That would be you, the average Joe and Jane that has to pay those higher prices at the grocery store if you can get the food at all. Hey guys, I want to remind you to get your tickets to Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the live conference I do twice per year with all of your favorite speakers from the Rebel Capitalist Show and experts in investing, commodities, real estate, freedom, and liberty. All of your favorite topics, all of your favorite speakers. The next Rebel Capitalist Live is going to be in Miami, and tickets increase in price as we get closer to the event. So go to rebelcapitalistlive.com right now to get your tickets to the next Rebel Capitalist Live. It's the conference you cannot afford to miss. It'll help you increase your financial freedom and, more importantly, your personal freedom. You'll get intel that you won't hear anywhere else. Past speakers have included icons in macroeconomics, investing, and personal freedom and liberty. People like Dr. Ron Paul, Robert Kiyosaki, Brent Johnson, Lynn Alden, Jeff Snyder, Richard Werner, Mark Moss, Lynette Zhang, and Robert Breedlove, just to name a few. So once again, go to Rebel Capitalist Live right now and get your tickets today. Moving on with the quote from Melick, he continued to say that they're going to get lower yields simply because they're economizing, particularly in emerging markets. If they're having to do that in emerging markets, then again, the higher it's going to mean that we have to pay higher prices here to get that food that is being produced outside the United States here instead of somewhere else. And also, too, if we're exporting food and if we're producing a lot less, then we're going to have to pay far higher prices because we're going to be competing with other developed countries like Europe for that food that's being produced here in the U.S. That's if they can get the fertilizer in the first place. That's another thing, mistake I see people make all the time. When they're trying to think this through, they're like, oh, who cares? The United States is totally self-sufficient when it comes to food. Wrong. We're not. We're totally self-sufficient when it comes to food as long as we have the fertilizer. But if you don't have the fertilizer, I don't care how much farmland you have. It really doesn't matter. And you say, well, we can get it from Canada. Well, fine, but we're going to have to pay a much, much higher price because the whole world is going to be bidding for that same potash that's coming out of Saskatchewan. So he goes on to say grain shortages will drive up the cost of basic foods and other commodities. We talked about protein, but there's a domino effect that really trickles through pretty much almost everything you buy at the grocery store, especially if energy prices are up. A lot of people say, well, I just don't drive. It doesn't matter. Well, listen, you have to get everything that you consume delivered or transported, and that is going to be affected by the price of energy or commodities. So now going back to the article here, and a quote, another quote from Melick, he says, that's going to lead to higher input costs for producing everything from grains, wheat, corn. The input costs are higher now because you're going to have scarcity that bids prices up as well. Exactly what I was talking about. Meanwhile, prices for cows, steers, pork bellies have also climbed significantly. And then they interview another expert who just simply says, we are absolutely facing a problem of catastrophic proportion here. They show a chart of wheat prices, just to give you an example, wheat futures. And this is a one-year change, basically going from $600. And I'm not sure the unit of measurement here, but it just shows you the price increase regardless. Going from $600 up to $1,300, then back down, taking a break, a sell-off down to $1,000. And if you guys know anything about technical analysis, usually when you see a chart like this and a big breakout, you see a pullback and then it shoots higher. We're talking about an erosion of food security on a scale we have not seen for a long time. I would argue we have never seen in the United States, or not since the Great Depression. And I think it will touch people in the lower income distribution in North America. Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, what is a sanction other than just a way for rich people to feel good at the expense of poor people? Melick said farmers are likely to consider rotating in less fertilizer intensive crops. And I think it's a typo there. It says crops, and will economize the amount of nutrients they use. Consumers are also going to have to make choices. There you go, guys. The one thing that Joe Biden said that is spot on accurate is that food shortages are going to get real. And I think that's something that we need to come to terms with and prepare for. And even if it doesn't come to fruition, it's better to be prepared than not. Like my buddy Andrew Henderson says, it's better to prepare a year too early than a day too late. And then we also need to think through these sanctions. And while the mainstream media is saying that this is the way to go and how they're having such a massive impact on the Russian economy and all of these things, we need to also realize that regardless of what impact they're having on Russia, which I would argue it's not that much, they are having a massive impact on the West, Europe, and we will see the impact in the United States from these sanctions. So every time Biden comes out and says we need to do more and more sanctions, just keep in mind what he's saying is we need food prices and food shortages to continue to climb. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. See you in the next video.